My name is Mike Egan and I'm from Killeen Gortaclea and I have lived here all my life. I have worked on the railway. I started there in 1969 and I stayed there for 40 years. They put up with me. But I just want to outline a few bits and pieces, especially about the North Kerry Yard, which is Dunn's Doors now in North Circular Road. And people mightn't believe that, that's what they mightn't, but it was a very big yard for marshalling trains and things like that years ago. But the wash dock was in by the side of Casements Avenue. And 'tis the greenway now from Edward Street starting there to Feenit. And there was a siding in there. It used to go from the big river back to the back of the signal cabin in Rock Street. That's what it used. It was known as the wash dock. And there was a tank house there with a big, huge tank up in it, kept together with rivets and everything in the olden days. And the permanent way would get water out of that. That's what they would to spray the yard. It would be Tony Marshall and Mick Curran and Sean Mulchnock, and they'd do every road that was in the yard, in that North Kerry yard. That's what they do for the weeds. And where the wash dock I was talking about, we would put the cattle wagons in there to get them washed. There was a long little, I suppose it was 2 or 3 feet off the ground, of a concrete little platform going along for us to wash out the wagons. Now, the Rock Street cabin was at the top of Rock Street, naturally, and Dan Gorman was the signalman there. And he'd have to open the gates if we were going in to the Kingdom Tubes factory with a wagon of acid. And they came in huge, big glass jars. They were 3 foot high, that's what they were. And we'd have to put in a big key, big long key, to open the ground frame to make the points to put in the wagon. And we'd know when to collect it again, because the personnel in the Kingdom Tubes would have pushed it outside the door again for us and gone about their business. Now, we had the CWS factory for the pigs at the top of Rock Street as well, and we had a siding, CIE had a siding going in there, and they had our own gate below the gates that would open if we were going to, we'll say, to Abbey Fail with a train or the stall or whatever the case may be, in Airfert and Abbey Dorney. And that went in separate into the CWS and would collect the wagons there. You come further then and you had Kelleher Siding, that's what you had. They had a mill there, business selling ration and all that business in North Circular Road, and we'd place a wagon for to get for cement in there for that. And the driver one time with me, Jack O'Connor is his name, he would put in the wagon there for us. And he, one day when we were doing it, there was 3 sleepers down the ground, because it was only to go back as far as that. And didn't we mount the 3 sleepers? And didn't the wagon come back down again in its own, up on the rails again? We had the look of God. Then we had next to that, we had the gantry for taking off wagons of Guinness. And there was grain wagons there, and they could load beet there. That's what they could. And the next place we came to then was Latchford's. Latchford Siding, you would have to go in over the bridge of the big river, actually. And Latchford owned that rail, his tracks and sleepers. That was privately owned, but CIE had to maintain it for him. And the sleepers were rotten at one stage anyway, and they had to replace some of their big heavy sleepers, all manual work that time. And they would have to take away the rotten ones and the rails and all that business and replace them with new ones. And when he got the bill, he wasn't a bit happy, to be honest with you. He kind of quizzed it, He said he counted all the men that was at it, 14 men that was at it, actually. But having that much said, that was slave labour, to be honest with you. And they were great men. But as I say about spraying the yard for the weeds with the boys again, it was up a steel tub up in a bogey that they used, a four-wheel bogey that they could take off and place again at any moment. But now, coming up then, we'll say to Edward Street, that would be starting off in the other, where the platforms are today. And you had a signal cabin there, to still there, that's what it is. And it was worked by Timmy Hannifin. His son is a priest now in Ballybunnan, that's what he is, Father Hannifin. But we had Paddy Hurley, if we don't mind, was a signalman there, a father of Shawnee Hurley's in Kerry Radio. And all the Hurleys were steeped in the railway, that's what they were. From Billy was a train driver, Christie was a shunter, Mick was a guard, and you had the, you had their sister was gatekeeper at Rattass, actually, that's what she was.
That's lovely. Do you mind me asking, what year was all of this?
I'll tell you now, I joined it in 1969, and it was actually, from there on, I learned all them bits and pieces and shunting with the boys inside, that's what I did. But when Plan 80 came, it changed a lot of things. We had three platforms in Tralee in the olden days that time. We had the main platform, which is still there, which is extended now for nearly a quarter of a mile up towards Clash. But we also had number one bay, which would hold, I'd say, three carriages, a van and an engine. And then we had number two bay, was hold, I'd say, maybe eight, a van and an engine. There put in now that is only the main platform, number one and number two bay, which would hold a lot of carriages, 14 or 15, or whatever the case may be, very, very long. They're just there alongside the bus garage. And near the bus garage at that time, there was a turntable that I never knew was there, to be honest with the remnants of it was there before I joined the railway. But we could go in there to McCown's with the cement wagons. The Ginger Sheehy Road wasn't there at all then.
What was there instead?
I'll tell you now. It was houses coming up there from the belly, from the Boherby side and all that. That road wouldn't existed at all in 1969 when I started. You would either have to come up Edward Street near St. John's Church, up that past the post office to the railway, or else up McCown Lane.
Oh my gosh.
And we that all changed. I don't know when... There was even roses, a big bed of roses there at inside the gate of the railway, by the railway like, and Paddy Brashton used to be attending to them. But funny enough, when the new road came, that all disappeared with the traffic lights coming there at Edward Street.
And what year did the new road come in?
I haven't a clue now, but I definitely was going in anywhere for 10 or 12 years into the railway before I'd say the new road came along.
Mm-hmm.
But we'd cross there with the wagons, the Ginger Sheehy Road into McCown's, and there wasn't a thing there. Going in with the wagons and beat them out, and when we came out, then you would on the main platform again and go up towards Clash. There was a set of points there that would bring you into every road in the station. You had the carriage road, you had, which later became, I'd say, the liner road, because the wagons were done away with then and it was turned over to containers. But we had what we call the table road, going up into the turntable, and I often turn an engine up on that. And as a matter of fact, I nearly would say one time when the driver would place it properly and would balance it. I could turn that turntable myself with one engine up on it. That's what I could. But Moss Crowe would often give a hand. He used to be around the yard there. That's what he would, or Timmy Kane. And any fella that would stroll on, and the driver would get down off of the engine, because he could lock the engine up on it and he would give it a swing around. That's when the heavy, if it wasn't balanced properly, it wouldn't shift it at all, because it would be stuck at one side. Then you had the inside road, and you could let around. When the train would go up there, you could hold a set of points above the end of it, and you could let around a train, the engine could go around to the other side of it. We had two roads going into the loco shed, that's what we had, and there was maintenance men there. Billy Curtin was one of them, there, and he slipped. And Ted Nolan, of Nolan's Garage, now, he was working there, Ted Nolan. And the store road then was where there was a big lot of us working. I was there for several days, I worked there. And with Moss O'Donnell, and we had Pat Connor and John Grady, and you had P.J. Kane was foreman there. And you had P.J. became an inspector after, that's what he did. And you had, what would I say, you know, unloading all the sundries, fags, and the rolls of paper, which were over a ton weight for the carrymen. And you would have to get two or three fellas to shift them out of the wagon for her, otherwise you wouldn't get them, and to be a sliding door wagon for them, because they were very long as well. And the Cornelieri's men then had tractors and trailers, and they delivered the sundries around the town, pallets of jam and fags and you name it, it came in, that's what it did.
I suppose you had to be strong enough to work there.
Well, you had, and you had to be fit, like, you know, but there were great men working in the store, actually, that's what they were. You had Richard Greensmith, which is a lovely name, actually, but you had what we'll call then the middle road, where we could make up goods that would be going out to Killarney and things like that, be going on for Mallow. You had Paddy Stackagard, you had Gerald Horgan, Bill Kinnerk, and you had Jimmy Kinnerk, and you had who else was guard? Beanie Sullivan was guard, Pat Dineen. And well, you had Checkers there, then Sean Sheehan, he was from Clown Milan, that's what he was, Pierre Sullivan, and
how long was a working day there?
It was 8 hours that day, time, that's what it was, 8 hours a day, and you would, the men in the store were on a 5 day a week, but us as porters, we had to work the 7 days.
Oh, my God.
Oh, the 7 days without fail. You would have to work the 7 days, and that was it, like. But there was a hut in the middle of the yard for the shunters. And their signalmen below in the cabin would ring up with any instructions. If the train was coming in late, the passenger train, or they might tell you that the goods train was left Killarney. But Timmy Hennepin phoned up this day anyway, and he just said that the goods was left Killarney and would be prepared, and then we had a pilot engine inside, as we called it, and we'd have it go back up towards Clash. And when the train had passed down, they would come in behind it to shunt off the wagons to their various store road and might outside road, if it was cement and things like that. Later all that became forklift work, that's what it did, because we had the cement store, that's what we had, and the Guinness would go into the Guinness side, and John Fitzgerald had a store, which is there now, and as far as I know, it has opened up for bicycles, I think, for the Phoenix Light now, for the Greenway, that's what it is. One day when Timmy Hennepin rang anyway, Paddy Toomey was there, and Paddy Toomey, the driver, was a very, he was an immaculate man, shirt and tie. I was always in the rough, to be honest with you. But when he said, "Odger, back to the block, young man." That he be the engine going back up to, towards Clash, towards the Beaufort to come down behind the goods, as I say. And he said, "Back to the block, young man. Besh to him, sandwiches out the window. Besh fed crows in Ireland." He had that saying, that's what he had like to know. And Tommy Collins and was a driver known as the Bullet. And Tom, because he was a rapid man to go. And Tommy learned me one lesson when I started, and he said, "If you can't help, don't hinder." So it stuck with me forever more, less than did he. Then in the Dingle, I know nothing about the Dingle railway line, but there was a man there by the known as Flanagan. And he was, I suppose, a ganger man. And there was a lot of derailments. I suppose it was never a gauge. I don't know anything about it as such. But the derailments would be frequent anyway. And in the shunt inside of it. And he'd send off a big long memo of stuff of what time it happened, who the driver was, who the shunter was, and the cause of the derailment and how long it took him to put it up. And they were delighted above and cart because he'd kind of had it kind of rhymed. But I got sick of that. That's what they did, Kaya. I got sick of that after about 6 months. And they sent down a memo. It was all memos that time now. It was all emails and whatever you have. Like, yes, yes. And they sent down a memo anyway to say, "Be short and to the point in future." So Flanagan anyway was putting his on his thinking cap, and he thought to me, he says, back with the memo, and when they got it, they read it. "Off again, on again, gone again, Flanagan." No more. "Off again, on again, gone again, Flanagan." But they were the funny things, that's what they were like. But the railway fellas worked hard inside there in the railway. That's what they did like to know, because of a lot of passenger trains. And would you believe it or not, Kaya, we had passenger trains going out from Tralee to the North Kerry Yard and on to Erfurt, Abbey Dorney, Lichnaa, Lishdole, Abbey Fair, and on to Limerick and up to Clare Morris.
Mm-hmm. And when did it all change? When did the railway start to, you know, only go to certain routes like Killarney now?
Well, you see, I don't know. Tis a long, long time ago since that North Kerry. I can't remember it, but I know that there's time and date for the last trains coming in and all that things. I think PJ Kane had some article in a book about it, and Man and Abbey Dorney, God rest his soul. And he it said about the last passenger train, but all I know is I worked the passenger train to Lishdole, that's what I did, for the horse and jockey crowd from Kildare. They came down with a special, and I was the guard, and Willie Lynch was the driver, and we gone out with the empty train to bring them in. I had to open the gates at Crocketo Sawn was the name of the gates. It wasn't, and the woman there was a nurse, and she shouldn't be there at all. And for the seldom time trains would come and go on there. It was open by a man on the way in. Then they had it open. That's the Patrick Nan's father, Simon, worked there in the stall. That's what he did. And Janjo Kinney. And it is the museum now, that's what it is.
Wow.
There, you done a show there with Martin Griffin.
Yes, yes.
And that's all now, the Laird Teague Museum in that store. Well, I shunted there in that yard in the store.
Amazing.
Uh-huh.
Oh, my gosh.
And you'd be hitting them off the block to get them to the roll back into the store there in the store, that's what you would. And the Limerick fellas had to hit them off of the wall in the store, the way they'd go into the store. But Patrick Mann and his mate, one time, when they were young, and his dad was working the station, he was on the outside the wall from it actually, he was fooling with the wagons, himself and his mate, and didn't they shove the wagon through the big door of the store? And from this day, no one ever found out, but they're after finding it out now. That's what happened. See, they do not like the fox. But as I say, we the show of nicknames. Myself was known as the Shanachie. That's what I was. And I suppose a lot of other things behind my back as well.
Things you don't need to know.
That I don't need to know, yes. We had the Phantom. We had the Woolly. We had the Rabbit. We had the Thin Man. And we had the Colonel, the Mayfair. And we had Brod Marshall. That's what we had. We always called him Brody. That's what he's only living back the road here from me. We had the Horse was one of them. And the Docker, the Priest. We had Heelball and Mickey Tricky. Big Tom, Smackers, Putty, the Dummy, Lindsay, Tom Jones, the Bullet, Skippy, Mayfair, Blessed Martin, the Seal, Totty, Matt the Treasure, the Duke, Pippi Longstockings, and the Goose. And
is this a poem you wrote?
No, this is a poem now, and I'll give it to you. It was written by Leonard Neenan. He was a train driver. He was up from Clash Cross. And he was the greatest man I ever see to do a painting of with a pencil artwork of anyone. He'd opened the Shunter's Hut, which was known as the Cat and Mouse Hotel by us. And before I start that, now there was also a cattle pens here in the middle of the yard, and they'd be bringing up cows and things there, and Dan Griffin from Cashel, Maine would load pigs there, and I loaded pigs with Dan Griffin there, and in them the cattle wagons there, they went in, the pigs went into them, and they carried beet in coal trucks and all that business, and Johnny Hoare, he was bringing up cows from the mart. That walk come up. The mart was below where the hotel is. They are now near Kerry Radio. What's the name of that hotel?
The Ash Hotel.
The Ash Hotel. That's where the kingdom, that's where the Lee Strand was.
Oh, very good.
And the mart that's gone back now to Carrigan Daniel. But Johnny Hoare will be coming up anyway, and he'll be driving the cows up through the street, like. And, yeah, but the traffic was light that time. And he'd be saying, he'd have three cows, and he'd be roaring, stop them three cows there, and I count them. He was funny, like. But anyway, Leonard wrote this poem, that's what he did, and I'll have to give it to you.
Right.
A JCB creeps up the yard, it soon will sound the knell of the good times that were had by all in the Cat and Mouse Hotel. The bank and store will be no more, likewise the fueling tank, there soon will be but a memory, just like the Dingle Bank. Ah, there are good times coming, that it is a clinch. Sure, I've seen it all in paper by the prophet Holly Lynch. Containers will be lifted from the railway to the road, and there will be no wagons, only units under load. We'll have coloured lights for signals, all winking red and green, and we'll have an Ardan father coming out above 13. Martin Murphy, bless his soul, says they'll be full and plenty. Sure, he'll get work for most of us, forklifting 10, 10, 20. And to those of us he can fit in, he tells of the enjoyment and the golden years we will have whilst drawing the unemployment. But for all this wondrous future, the truth to you I'll tell, we'll ne'er forget those happy days in the Cat and Mouse Hotel.
That's very, very, very good. Well, Mike, it was absolutely lovely to hear all about it, you know.
Yes.
I'm sure that you'll bring lovely memories to other people listening in.
Yes, and you see, people might know it, and on a funny note, again, I can say this much. Dun stores weren't long built. 1080 changed a lot of them things. That's what they did. Ah, for the good, like. The electric light, like, to understand. The signals, like. And